Good morning, Symphony Church. We will be spending the next 3 days going through Paul's epistle to Titus. And we'll start today with chapter 1, and I shall read that for us. Titus 1. Paul, a servant of God and an apostle of Jesus Christ, for the sake of the faith of God's elect and their knowledge of the truth, which accords with godliness, in hope of eternal life, which God, who never lies, promised before the ages began, and at the proper time manifested in his word through the preaching with which I have been entrusted by the command of God our Savior. To Titus, my true child in a common faith, grace and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Savior. This is why I left you in Crete, so that you might put what remains into order and appoint elders into every town as I directed you. If anyone is above reproach, the husband of one wife, and his children are believers and not open to the charge of debauchery or insubordination. For an overseer, as God's steward, must be above reproach. He must not be arrogant or quick-tempered or a drunkard or violent or greedy for gain, but hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, and disciplined. He must hold firm to the trustworthy word as taught, so that he may be able to give instruction in sound doctrine and also to rebuke those who contradict it. For there are many who are insubordinate, empty talkers and deceivers, especially those of the circumcision party. They must be silenced, since they are upsetting whole families by teaching for shameful gain what they ought not to teach. One of the Cretans, a prophet of their own, said, "Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, lazy gluttons. This testimony is true. Therefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not devoting themselves to Jewish myths and the commands of people who turn away from the truth. To the pure, all things are pure, but to the defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, but both their minds and their consciences are defiled. They profess to know God, but they deny him by their works. They are detestable, disobedient, unfit for any good work." Amen. So Titus is a somewhat less storied figure in the New Testament, appearing only in a few places outside of this letter and usually in passing. If you've been following our devotionals through 2 Corinthians, you might remember his name popping up here and there. We can gather that Titus was a companion of Paul who joined him later on in Paul's ministry, timeline-wise. And Titus was someone that Paul often chose to send or leave behind rather than travel exclusively with. However, that by no means suggests that Titus wasn't important. Quite the opposite, actually. Titus was one of Paul's most trusted co-laborers in Christ. We see in just this letter from Paul to Titus that Titus had been entrusted with a ministry in all of Crete, and that Paul trusted Titus with a selection of elders to oversee the church that was arising there. This tells us that Titus himself is someone that demonstrates the qualities of an exemplary leader, someone who is trustworthy and upright, since he is given the important task of appointing the leadership in Crete. After all, as wisdom tells us, it takes one to know one. Regarding the criteria for selection, Paul instructs Titus to search for people who, first and foremost, are above reproach. And he lists qualities that would make someone above reproach: hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined. They are to hold firm to the word as it's taught in all its trustworthiness, and use it to be able to teach sound doctrine and rebuke those who go against it. They must not be arrogant, quick-tempered, a drunkard, violent, or greedy for gain. Now that might sound like quite the high standard. There are a lot of requirements there that Paul lists out for Titus to search for. Part of that is the context in which Titus is doing ministry. Paul says himself that Cretans are known to be liars, evil, lazy gluttons. Titus really needed strong models to be able to teach the Cretan Christians how to live. But these virtues, being above reproach in these ways, they're universal in their value because they're signs of a person who loves the Lord with all their heart and has committed their life to following Jesus. Notice that Paul doesn't say things that we traditionally associate with leadership, eloquent speech, assertive personality, successful resume, charismatic charm. These are the things that we commonly associate with the best leaders. But the qualities of leadership that Paul outlines for Titus are qualities that are not exclusive to leaders. They're qualities that actually God desires in every Christian. Now, the temptation for us is to read our passage, to recognize that it's addressed to leaders, and say, well, I'm not a leader. I don't hold any leadership positions in the church. There's nothing personally relevant for me here, and to gloss past this chapter. No, of course, although we aren't in the running to be an elder of Crete, we are also called to pursue the same character that Titus is looking for, a godly character. Later on in the chapter, Paul describes those who are defiled and unbelieving as those who profess to know God, but deny him by their works. They're people who profess God, but they don't resemble the hallmarks of leadership. And that's the danger when we grow lax in pursuing godly character. We might profess God, profess Christ, but when we hold a magnifying glass up to our hearts, we see that our works are not aligned with our words. And so consider the criteria that Paul gives Titus, not as one that shows good leaders, but one that shows fruitful Christians. Are you hospitable, a lover of good, self-controlled, upright, holy, disciplined? Are you not arrogant, not quick-tempered, not a drunkard, not violent, not greedy for gain? And more than that, are you continually working on these things for the glory of God, so that you are eliminating the many obstacles that keep your soul from enjoying the Lord, so that you are a good example to those who look to you in the church, so that you can be a light in the dark world and show that Christ's love does indeed transform? Let's not profess to know God but deny him by our works. Let's know God and affirm him through our works, through our character and the things that we strive for. And leader or not, let's continue to grow in the good things that produce fruit. Let's pray. Lord, we come to you and ask that you refine us, help us to continue to pursue these wonderful things, these good characters. Lord, I pray that we not just leave sanctification and growth to the leaders. I pray that every single one of us, every single Christian, bears this burden of laying down earthly pleasures, earthly desires, earthly pathways. Instead, I pray that we seek heavenly pathways, the things, the qualities, the attributes that come from continually asking for the Spirit to fill us. Lord, we know that if it's up to us completely, we're bound to fail. We're bound to be selfish. But instead, I just pray that we can rely on you to help us to grow, to overcome our sin, and to continue to grow as believers who affirm you through our works. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.